God and praying the Scriptures. And most recently, what we've been focusing on is looking at strongholds. That is, those things that Satan throws against us, that he tries to use to hold us in bondage to him. And looking at really acknowledging those kinds of things going on in our lives and using God's Word to help us to overcome or to break down those strongholds. Last week we were looking at the stronghold of pride, and we talked about how pride will just really consume us, and everything becomes about us. This evening, this is just a program note for you, okay? This evening, we're going to continue in our Sunday evening discussion study. We're going to be focusing on our study on pride that we began last week. Since we had our fifth Sunday singing last Sunday evening, we weren't able to do that. That's what we're going to be doing this evening. But this morning, I want us to focus on a stronghold called deception. The stronghold of deception. We need to understand that deception is something that Satan uses well because he's been doing it and using deception for so long. You know, the Scriptures identify Satan as the great deceiver. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus, in talking about Satan, says, "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And so we need to understand that whenever we're hearing something coming from Satan, you need to understand it's a lie, okay? It's a lie. We have to understand the deceptive nature of Satan and what he tries to do in deceiving us so that we will think that what's going on is okay when in actuality, oftentimes, it's not. The writer of Hebrews in 3 and verse 13 says, "Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So we need to understand when we're talking about this stronghold of deception, we need to understand that sin, by its very nature, is deceptive. You see? That's how Satan works. Let me ask you this. If you think about commercials on TV, you look at, just think about the gamut, and some of us, remember commercials from way, way back. That things like, the beer commercial that said you only go around once in life, so you have to do what? Grab all the gusto you can. And they show, in those kinds of commercials, they show all these glamorous things that are happening. You see, they still do it today. Look at all these commercials for alcohol and so we're going on. And it's so glamorous. The lifestyle is so glamorous. That's a deception. How many times have you ever seen an alcohol company advertising for their product by showing the death and destruction that takes place on the highways because of drunk drivers? Doesn't happen, does it? Because they don't want you to think about that aspect of it. You see, they're just wanting you to think about all the good side. Well, that's deception. You see, in always trying to paint a rosy picture. You see? That's what Satan does for us. You see? He shows us, tries to show us the good side of things. And it's not until we're caught, when we're trapped, that all of a sudden the bad side starts showing up. You see? So let's talk about this stronghold of deception that Satan uses. Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. We're going all the way back to the beginning, and we see the very first time that Satan used deception on the human race, which kind of got us into the predicament that we're in today, right? You see? We go back to the Garden of Eden, and under your notes there, you see the first topic there is, "You will not surely die." Look at the conversation between Satan and the woman here, okay? The serpent, verse 1 here, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Look at verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then, look at verse 7. I want to put a little star next to that one. What happened as a result of this deception? Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Yeah. It's not until after the deception takes place and after the disobedience occurs, then the eyes are open. Well, it's too late then. But understand, that's exactly how Satan operates. He makes us to think that everything is good, everything is fine. And in this case, the deception has to do with counteracting what God has said. Notice that when Satan asks, he begins this conversation by asking the woman, did God really say that? There's that doubt, that seed of doubt that he places in our mind. Did God really say that? Well, the woman knew farewell that God had said that, didn't he? She tells him, yes, God said not to eat of this fruit, not even to touch it. For if we do, we will die. Then there comes the deception. You will not die. The only reason God told you that is because he doesn't want you to be like him. But if you eat that fruit, you will be like him. And then there comes that physical aspect, the desire. What was it that it says here? The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and she ate it. Yeah. Exactly how Satan functions. Make it look pleasing. Make it look appealing. Make it look fun. It's attractive, you say. And then we go ahead and do what we know we're not supposed to do. And then our eyes are open. And we realize what's happened. Read the rest of verse 7 there. Okay? The eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, their eyes were open and they became very self-conscious, which is really the basis of sin, isn't it? Selfishness. And that's where we see it all beginning. So we need to understand, Satan, that's how he began with getting man to sin, is by this great deception. God didn't really say that, did he? He didn't really mean that. And how many times, perhaps, have you, yourself, if not at least hearing someone else say, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but... Well, isn't that the same thing? Isn't that exactly the same thing? Yes, God did say this. Well, but he didn't really mean it that way. Oh, okay, well, I guess it's all right then. I know this is wrong. I know it's not what God wants me to do, but... He doesn't understand my situation. Okay? Or whatever other excuse that Satan provides for us in his way of deceiving us into thinking, oh, this one time won't really hurt. Okay? And Satan over and over again tells us, you will not surely die. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you want fries with that? Kind of a strange title there, isn't it? But I want you to think about it for a second. You know, in the world of You know, marketing today, there's this thing that is called suggestive selling. Okay? And so whenever you go up to the counter to order your burgers or what have you, what's the question that they usually ask you? Do you want fries with that? Because they're trying to get you to buy more stuff. Well, now it's not just do you want fries with that. Now the big question is what? Do you want a combo? You see? Not just the fries, but do you want the drink as well? You say, oh, you know it's a dime cheaper if you buy it that way. You see? And so there's this suggestive selling that's going on. Okay? And that suggestion, we take that and we think, oh, well, it must be the best thing because they wouldn't advertise it that way if it wasn't the cheapest way to go, right? Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes perhaps it is not. But you know, my point here is that Satan asks us, would you like a little bit of sin to go along with that? Yeah. Oh, you're having so much fun right now in this. Would you like a little bit of sin? Just a little bit. Kind of spice things up a little bit for you. You see, Satan is always doing suggestive selling to us. Trying to manipulate us, trying to deceive us into thinking that just a little bit extra really won't do any harm. For instance, how many times have you ever thought about some kind of activity that, again, perhaps you know you shouldn't be doing it, but there's that suggestion that says to you, well, I'm not as bad as everybody else is. Or it's not really hurting anybody. See? What they don't know won't hurt them. See? And on and on and on the suggestions go. All the while, Satan is deceiving us into thinking that it's really not too big of a deal. And there we go again. I know what the Bible says, but... And we allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking that it's really okay, or it's really not that big of a deal, or nobody's really going to be hurt, or all of the other excuses that Satan uses to deceive us and thus hold us in bondage. In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, 1 John chapter 1, turn over there in your Bible for just a moment and go back and look at what it is that John is talking about here. He's talking about us walking in the light, or at least claiming to. Look at what he says in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yeah. We claim to be walking with God, but yet living a life that we know is counter to what God calls upon us to live. Doing things that we know God tells us not to be doing. Living in such a way that we know God does not want us to be living. And John here is telling us, when we're doing those kind of things, there's that deception. You see? And he even goes so far as to say, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're okay with God and we're doing okay when we know that we're not living a life the way that God wants us to live. It's interesting to me, the number of people that I've encountered over time, and it seems to be there's more lately than used to be, that people that I've in conversation with that are just kind of amazed that people are actually trying to live according to what the Bible teaches. You know, that's a strange thing to a lot of people today. You mean you actually try to follow that? Yes. And that's a strange concept to a lot of people that they're content with claiming to have fellowship with God, yet living their life the way they want to instead of the way God wants them to. And what they don't understand is that they are deceiving themselves, if I understand what John is saying here correctly. That's exactly what he does. Exactly what Satan does. Deceives us into thinking that everything is fine, when in actuality, it's not sometimes. Verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we not only have fellowship with him, but the blood of his son continues to purify us of our sins. Okay? And that's the recognition and acknowledgement that, yes, my daily walk, though it's not perfect, I stumble, I fall, I sin. But he also makes a promise. Verse 9 and 10. What does he say there? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will purify us of all unrighteousness. Okay? We need to be careful that we don't allow Satan to deceive us into thinking that, yes, everything is really great when we know better because we're not living our life the way God calls upon us to live it. How do we know that? How can we really know for sure? Well, I think that, again, the Bible is very plain on that. Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want to be free from the deception stronghold? You want to be free from Satan being able to come and just hold you in bondage because he's deceiving you into thinking that everything's good when it's really not? Then hold to the teachings of Jesus. That's what he says. When you hold to his teachings, then, number one, he says, you're truly my disciples. Number two, he says, then you will know the truth. And you see, the truth always exposes deception. That's what the truth really does. Look in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. This is the verdict, Jesus said. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You see, it's truth that exposes the deception. So we want to be able to see through the deceptions that Satan throws at us. We've got to hold on to the truth, that is, the words of Christ. Then we'll be able to see through those things. Though deceptions will be exposed to us, and we'll be able to be free from the deception stronghold that Satan is trying to hold us in bondage to. The light comes into the world, but men in general don't like the light. They'd rather be in the darkness because that light exposes the evil deeds. But it's truth. It's truth that truly sets us free. And we find that truth in the words of Christ, in His teachings. The deception stronghold is a powerful, powerful stronghold that Satan uses to pull us closer to Him by using ideas like, you know, little white lies and this little things that really don't hurt anybody and all of those kinds of things that allow us to think that even though we're doing these things that we know God doesn't want us to do, we think we're okay with God. And Satan sits back and laughs because He knows that He has us. I don't know if you're struggling with this particular stronghold. As we began this part of our study on prayer, we mentioned a lot of different strongholds that we're going to be studying, and mentioned also that different ones of us struggle with different strongholds. Not all of us struggle with all of them. But if this is one that you struggle with, I hope that just in recognizing these things this morning will help you to understand what Satan is doing and what you can do to break down this deception stronghold. If you are living your life day to day, living in the world, but thinking that and knowing all the time that it's not what God wants you to do, but you're thinking that it's okay because it's not hurting anybody and you're not as bad as everybody else and all those other things, then I'm here to tell you this morning, Satan has you bound up with this stronghold and you need to be set free. If it's a stronghold that you are struggling with this morning, I hope that you will not only recognize it in your own life, but that you will tear it down this morning. Get rid of it. Knock it down by holding on to the truth of Jesus' words. We're here to help you to do that, if that's what you need to do. If this is a struggle for you, and then let us help you. Let us bring you before the Lord and ask for His power in your life. Remember this one thing, and one of the things we've been talking about throughout this study is the power of God's prayer and praying God's promises. Go back over to John chapter 8, verse 32. And there's a promise there, right? See? What did He say there? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If this is a struggle for you this morning, let us pray that promise for you, that you will be set free from this deception. You can be more of what God wants you to be. You can truly be free. There's someone here this morning that may have something else going on in your life. Maybe there's a struggle that you're having that's not this particular problem. Maybe something else that you need prayers for, you need encouragement or guidance. Then let us know that. It's what we do as family. We try to encourage one another and help one another. Someone here this morning who's not a Christian yet, you're ready to make a commitment to give your life to Christ, you can do that right now this morning. We have water that's ready right back here behind me for you to be baptized into Christ. If you're ready to make that commitment, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Confess and repent of your sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. Okay? We can't help you if we don't know what your need is. So we have an invitation song that we're going to stand together and sing. I'll be up here in the front. Ted, you're going to be in the back? Ted will be in the back. If there's anybody that would like to have a prayer with Ted in a private prayer, what have you, you can go back and see him and he will talk with you and pray with you back there. Let us help you with whatever it is that we can this morning. Let's stand together and sing.